Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald, Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. This is a jam-packed show. This is what you've been asking for. All the hot topics, the updates, my opinions on everything juicy, the shows we're watching, everything in the news. Let's get into it. Well, I read this long article last night and I thought it was fascinating. Jay Shetty. I have never talked about him on Juicy Scoop, but I became aware of him probably in the last couple of years. I know people love him. They live by him. I'm just going to give a little summary of him and then what this is about. So he is a hugely successful spiritual motivator person. He married, he married Jen, J-Lo, and Ben Affleck. He's friends with all these celebrities. He's been on Ellen. He was on the Red Table Talk many times. He was a monk, and he wrote a book, Think Like a Monk. And he's a really good-looking Indian man with piercing light blue eyes. He's married, soft-spoken, comes off humble, total delight. And he is super successful. He's written numerous books. And this woman goes to do an interview for Vulture. And she starts to uncover some things about him that don't go with the story that he's told for the last 8 years. His journey of going to school in England, where he was supposed to go and live a corporate life. And then one day he saw a monk speak and he was like, that's it. I was going to go to the pub after, but I went and saw this. And then I became a monk. And the article is a lot, especially if you're not that familiar with him. But I'm just going to give you my version, my summary. So, you know, he comes off great. All these celebrities love him. He is their spiritual guru and friend. I remember listening to the interview he did with Jada Pinkett Smith right after her book came out. And I mean, they were best buddies and all of this. Now, you know how much I've gotten into Jada Pinkett Smith's life, my opinion, the fact that I think she is a full-blown narcissist. That is my opinion. I've read the book. I've seen the interviews. You know, that's my opinion as someone who's not a therapist. And I remember hearing this, and that was the first time I'd ever heard a Jay Shetty show. And I was like, this guy is just feeding her ego. Is he ever going to call her out on her shit? You know, I thought it was a little whatever, but I'm like, people love him. Kim Kardashian's been on a show. All these people have been on a show and everyone loves him and thinks he's fabulous. But I'm like, whatever, you know, fine. And so in the article, she starts finding, as she's doing the article, all these indiscrepancies that don't go along with his story. And the story is what I talk about, the flex of, I came from nothing, I did this thing, and now I'm here. And what an amazing story that I was a monk, but I'm not going to make you become a monk or become a Buddhist. I'm just going to take what I learned and give it to you. When I give you some Juicy Scoop, I know you want to get on the phone with your bestie. Well, right now, the best deal in wireless is at Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile has wireless plans starting at $15 a month. That's unlimited talk and text, plus data for $15 a month. You know we love a deal in our home, and that is why we love Mint Mobile. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/juicyscoop. That's mintmobile.com/juicyscoop. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/juicyscoop.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Booking.com offers so many possibilities across the U.S. for all the travelers you want to be. So from relaxing beach resorts to remote mountain cabins, the multitude of choices across the U.S. on Booking.com allow you to book whoever you want to be. I know I'm definitely a different version of Heather, depending on where I'm traveling or who I'm with. Doing shows on the road, sometimes I bring another comedian, sometimes I bring my son. Well, it all works out so great when you're using Booking.com. Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah. So a lot of what he said now is not exactly the truth. And people that love him are going to be mad that I'm even saying this. They're going to be like, who cares? He's still helping people. I do care. Just like I cared when Hilaria acted like she was Spanish and tried to keep that going. And her own husband probably never asked her where she went to high school. Alec Baldwin didn't care. I don't like it. I think it's untrue. And if all of a sudden you guys found out that I had never gone to Catholic school, that my parents were not realtors, that I hadn't gone on a million auditions that I didn't get, that I, you know, you'd be like, that's weird. Did you know that Heather was actually from Orange County and went to a private non-denominational school and then acted like her stories of placing pumpkins on potential listings or in the neighborhood so that her parents could pay for private school isn't true? And I am not saying I lived a hard life at all. I'm just saying I told you what my life was, and now you're going to find out that really wasn't right. The years are off. It wasn't 19. It was 21 or vice versa. I think that's weird. I don't think he's going to lose anything from it. He'll probably only become more popular. All the Juicy Scoopers now know who he is because I've never, literally never said his name before on this show in 8.5 years. So he'll probably benefit from me talking about it, but I find it really interesting in this day and age. So what he started to do is while he was monkeying or whatever you want to call it, he was smart enough to get into YouTube. And he's so charming and he has a British accent, which I truly believe it's why people hire people with British accents to be the hostess at a fancy restaurant or their receptionist. It just makes you feel like you're in a classier place. It's just like when you hear a little child with a British accent, you immediately think they're smarter than your kid. It's just something that we Americans are guilty of, myself. So I think the English accent, the good looks, he's Indian, he's a monk, who wouldn't question it? But about 4 years ago, Nicole Arbour, who has a very popular YouTube channel, she was kind of bigger in the news a few years ago because she was controversial, but she was a huge YouTuber. She discovered that he was taking all this content and inspirational quotes and things from non-famous content creators and also famous ones like Tony Robbins. But even Tony Robbins, when he started his whole thing, said, I read all these books and I kind of put together my own program. But Jay Shetty was giving nobody credit for it. He wasn't giving Tony Robbins credit for it. He wasn't like, sometimes I will see an inspirational quote and I'll be like, wow, I really love this. This is something I'm really going through. And I'll just post it on my page, but it'll have the person's at whatever. Have I messed up once in my life? Possibly. I'm not a huge person of posting that stuff, but I always really try to say, this wasn't my idea. If I don't remember it, I apologize. But this guy was posting, and making it sound like it was his concepts, like he was coming up with this philosophy himself. So she exposes him back in 2018 or 19 with her YouTube video. And he gets lawyers involved and he's like, we're sorry and we're never going to do that again. And it's not my fault and I'm cleaning it up and whatever. Then he goes on, you know, to have his very popular podcast on all these shows. Everyone's loving him, writing these books. Everyone's loving him. So, but the other thing that has been discovered in doing the deep dive on Jay Shetty is another thing that I think is that we're going to see a lot more of. We've exposed kind of the evils of multi-level marketing. I've had an author on that was part of it. We've talked about it. There's been the legging documentary. It's LaLaRoe, that whole thing. There's been podcasts about it. It's fascinating. We've all had our own experience of ending up at a Mary Kay party, or, you know, I've told my own stories and getting sucked into that world. There's kind of a version of that, but with coaching. And Twin Flames, which was, again, a documentary, a podcast about these two people that had no credentials at all, that were complete grifters, started this thing to make people convince people that your twin flame is your twin flame, whether they know it or not, whether they're married to someone else, whether they're not the sexuality you thought you were, like that's your person. And they convince them to do it. And they make them pay for these courses. And then they're like, but now you're certified. So now you can coach other people. So he has that too. It's very expensive. He has a coaching, a life coaching thing that's like over $7,000. And you can take it and just save it for yourself and become a life coach, or then you can start working for the program and recruiting people to pay the $7,000. So then they can be life coaches. But the thing is, if everybody's a life coach, who the fuck is going to need a life coach? That's how multi-level marketing works too. If you get too late into the bottom of the pyramid, everyone in your neighborhood already has the leggings, already has the skincare. You don't have access to another fresh 200 people to sell your story to. You're out your chunk of money and you have a closet full of crap. That's how it works. So I don't know that he's responded. So Vulture said, goodbye. We don't want to do this article, probably because they had an arrangement with him. And that's not the article they wanted. And he's an elite. So who knows what's going on between him, Vulture, the people that run Vulture, his PR people, Oprah, whoever, who knows? So this girl went to The Guardian, and I think it's really interesting. Other people that I love him, that have met him, and he was nice to me and everything, and I don't care because he helps and inspires people. So who cares that he lied? And I do care. I do care. I think if you became famous based on a story that isn't true, and I don't care what anyone says about dates, mixing up dates. You know what you were doing at 19 versus what you were doing at 21. You know that you were either a junior in college or you were a monk. You know. So you don't go do a bunch of different interviews and screw up the age of when you were doing things. To me, that is highly suspect. I'm sure he won't ask me to be a guest on his show, and I don't care to have him on mine. I thought it was juicy. I suggest you read it and tell me what you think. Also, new asshole alert. Wow, this also came out yesterday. Jonathan Van Ness, he is beloved. He is on the new Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I think they're entering like their sixth or seventh season. This is where I think he's the hairstylist. There's someone who does the food. There's someone who does the decorating, the interior design. Bobby Burke has left the show, and a lot of people thought he should. They were like, my God, he has to redo an entire house, and all Jonathan has to do is like give someone a trim. Anyway, they come in, they take a straight guy, and they change his life. But I think the new season wasn't about just straight people. They just kind of helped anybody that needed a little help in styling their life. So an article came out, said he is a monster. He's a nightmare by seven people that have worked with him. Seven. So to me, that says that's not just one disgruntled person, one person that, you know, waited on you when you were, you know, in a bad mood. This is, they're saying that at least once a day he had to scream at somebody and he was just absolutely awful to work with. So it's many people saying it. I have never met him. I haven't really even watched the new version of Queer Eye that much. So I can say that. So I get it that you like it. But he has been very controversial. I just realized he does not go by he anymore. Okay. He goes by they, them. So in the article, they did use the correct pronouns. So I just remembered that. So it's they are a monster. Okay. There you go. So that is what people are saying. Jonathan might just ignore it all and let the fans love the way they've always loved Jonathan. But here's Jonathan, and you can see that Jonathan has long hair and a beard and a mustache. And I remembered, oh my God, I did an impression of him that I remember got like no love, it got no views, and I couldn't understand why. And I found it, and it's from April 5th, 2019. I put it on my Facebook and my YouTube, whatever. And I did this really funny sketch where I came in and I made over Peter as Jonathan. I just watched it. It was all improv. I have to say, like, freaking hilarious. And I'll repost it on my Instagram and my TikTok, so you'll be able to go there and see it right now. But much like many people in my last 8.5 years of having Juicy Scoop, I reached out to Jonathan. I sent it to him. I tagged him. thinking, won't Jonathan love it? Maybe he never saw it. I don't know. But there was a time we were both at the same podcast network. I tried to be on his show. When I see that there's seven people and then three others that also said something about him, that he's an asshole, that he was hard to work with. No, I'm not going to go, you know what? I'm not going to cover that story because he was such a delight to me, because he wasn't a delight and I am always a fucking constant delight. So there you go. Or I'm a constant fucking delight. Okay. This has been going on for a couple weeks now. Kate Middleton had abdominal surgery, which to me sounds pretty gnarly. There is so much speculation about why she hasn't been seen. And just today, they said, page six says, "Where in the world is the Princess of Wales?" The British Army's website quietly removed Kate Middleton's name from the list of attendees for the Colonel's Review Tuesday. So she was, there was a photo of her driving in the passenger seat of a car. Some people are like, that's not her. That is a lookalike. There was a kind of a funny conspiracy thing saying, we think she got a BBL, a Brazilian butt lift, and it takes a long time to recover from that. Maybe she got something else done. What's going on? But then she's out, but she's not out in public. Or is this person really her in the car? Is it like she knows something about, you know, Epstein Island? I don't know. I think what happened is, I think she has a serious medical situation happening. And she is in no position to push herself to be out in public and act fake and delightful. And also, she's probably loving the downtime. Sometimes that's the best part of being sick, is that like you could just lay in bed or take a little extra time, not get in a tight outfit, not wear makeup, whatever. And a lot of complications can happen from this type of surgery. We don't know if, you know, her bowels are not working right. I don't know. There could be a bigger reason of why she is not wanting to go out in public. Or is she milking it, which she has every right to do, to just be like, yeah, I don't need to go to that thing until I feel 100%, until I feel great and look great. Or maybe she got the abdominal surgery and while she was at it, she was like, yeah, give me a little something else. Give me a little boobie or butt. I don't know. I don't think so. I think she's really stunning on her own. I think that this medical issue was a bigger deal, or maybe they thought the surgery was going to be an easier recovery and it's taking longer. But I love the conspiracy theories. When I give you some juicy scoop, I know you want to get on the phone with your bestie. Well, right now, the best deal in wireless is at Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile has wireless plans starting at $15 a month. That's unlimited talk and text plus data for $15 a month. You can choose from 3, 6, or 12-month plans and say goodbye to a monthly phone bill. All plans come with unlimited talk and text plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You know we love a deal in our home, and that is why we love Mint Mobile. And my son has even turned on some of his friends to join Mint Mobile, and everyone's loving his financial advice. Switch to Mint Mobile and get your first 3 months of premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/juicyscoop. That's mintmobile.com/juicyscoop. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/juicyscoop.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
This episode of Juicy Scoop is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah. Booking.com offers so many possibilities across the U.S. for all the travelers you want to be. So from relaxing beach resorts to remote mountain cabins, the multitude of choices across the U.S. on Booking.com allow you to book whoever you want to be. I know I'm definitely a different version of Heather depending on where I'm traveling or who I'm with. So when it's a vacation with my girlfriends versus doing shows on the road, sometimes I bring another comedian, sometimes I bring my son. Well, it all works out so great when you're using Booking.com. This spring, check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home. No matter where you go in the U.S., book whoever you want to be on booking.com. Booking.yeah. That's booking.com. Booking.yeah. Now, this just popped up. This is, do you guys remember? And you should. This is Juicy Scoop history. In 2012, Prince Harry went to Vegas and he met a girl at the pool or something. And they went up and he was wasted and they went up to his room and he was playing pool naked in like the fabulous suite. And somebody with a really good camera in 2012 got photos of him naked playing pool and he got with this girl. Well, this girl has really killed it in life. She is now a dominatrix and is threatening to give his photos or share them on OnlyFans or something. And it's like, girl, it was 2012. It was literally 12 years ago. And he was young and drunk. And nobody cares that you might have boned him back then or that he played pool naked after he was drinking in the Vegas sun all day. Not juicy. Move the fuck along. Okay, The Valley is coming out. I just want to do a little, this is the spinoff of Vanderpump. And I just want to talk a little bit about more on what we talked about on Tuesday's show. More and more, I think my theory is right about Brittany and Jack's separation at this time. I really do think it's about being appreciated, being loved, having enough of it. I think it is an Airbnb and not like a year-long lease for Brittany. That way she could go. She wouldn't need furniture. You could do it for a month or up to 28 days. You can be close to the neighborhood. It's not really a big deal to go. And I definitely don't think they're doing it for the show, but I do think we will see some of the trials and tribulations of the show. So anyway, in their promos for the show, I was like, oh, this is so cute. They're all wearing bright colors. They're overly dressed up, but they're, you know, got a little kiddie pool. They have a little driving like truck. And so it's like all these fabulous parents who have kids, but still want to be fabulous while having kids. And I'm like, that is so cute. That is such a cute idea. Why does that seem so familiar to me? Well, it's the cover of my book, which also came out in 2013, My Inappropriate Life. And it was about me being a mom on TV, living in the valley. And I put together the cover and I got a cute strapless, fancy teal dress. We shot it in front of my lawn with my picket fence. And it's me going down a kiddie slide into a kiddie pool with a hose. And I put the photo side by side. Now, I am not saying that somebody saw my thing, happened to be reading my book from 13 years ago, My Inappropriate Life, and was like, let's copy Heather's idea. I'm just saying, maybe I thought of it first. Maybe I'm a genius. I'm clearly ahead of my time. And I live in the Valley, and I am the original Valley girl, but excited for the show. This is from my Juicy Scoop Obsessed page on Facebook. And if you want to join that, there's a little question because I only want people in there that actually listen to Juicy Scoop. And you'll be able to answer the question if you listen to Juicy Scoop and my theme song. Okay, someone wrote, and I did not allow this in the group, but it says, Lala is pregnant with Jack's baby. Let's discuss. I think this person was joking, but I also saw, is Lala pregnant with Brock's baby, who is Sheena's husband? I know for a fact, Lala's not pregnant with either one of those babies. She's made it very clear. She went the sperm donor IUI way of getting pregnant. But I do think this is hilarious, and I love the juicy thought of it. I think that, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people discussing in groups of like, they think it's not okay to have a baby on your own and this and that. And what do I really think, being that I'm a married mom and I'm Catholic and blah, blah, blah. I have always said, I think it's fine. I think it's fine. I think it was smart of Andy to do it as a gay man. I think it's fine for anybody that has the means to do it and wants to do it. And this is in their time of life and they don't want to pass the opportunity of being a parent because they don't have a partner. So I have no judgment in any of it. And I, you know, what is this? Do you, for the real old Juicy Scoopers, there was this show called Murphy Brown. And Candace Bergman was the star of it and was like a huge hit sitcom. And our vice president at the time, Dan Quayle, like made a huge deal out of like, this was ruining America because this woman who was like in her early 40s was pregnant and we didn't know who the father is or how she got pregnant. And it was like, how dare she? So listen, you can have your opinion. I think 99% of people are happy for her. We're friends. I'm happy for her. I explain why I think it's a good idea and based on her history, why this was a wise choice and the kind of family that she wants to raise and the kind of life she wants to live as a mother. But I also think it's interesting, and that's why it's controversial, and that's why on last night's show, she is good about saying, don't look at all the stuff. Because in last night's episode, Sheena was very upset. In real time, we see that they were in Lake Tahoe, and a fan came up, can I get a photo with all you guys? And the Vanderpump kids, and they're not kids anymore, but they are all, and 90% of reality stars, like I said, are so nice about taking photos with fans out in the wild. You can absolutely approach them. And it's so shocking to ever hear that one is not thrilled to take a photo because they're new to fandom and they don't really think they deserve it. And they're humble and they love it. Okay. Unlike somebody that's maybe been acting since they were 10 and would just like to have their dinner by themselves and they're 50. Like, don't, you know, maybe don't go up to Julia Roberts like you would Countess Luann. So anyway, she naturally puts her arm like this and Tom Sandoval was next to her. And this was only 4 months after the scandal had broke while they were filming with Tom Sandoval and Raquel. So she starts to get so much hate. And I remember seeing it all in the blogs and seeing all the hate. And you see how much it affects her and how much it hurts her feelings. And she's reading it. And it's like, she's probably had a couple drinks, not a lot, but she's reading it. And like, Lala's like, don't go on the, don't read that shit. And I think it takes someone a certain amount of time, and some people are better than others, of putting the blinders on and being like, this is part of the deal of the show and I'm just going to not look at this shit. And so that was kind of interesting. It's like being like, I'm going off. And I think people can go off and they don't have to post. They don't have to comment and they can, no one's leaving their Instagram if they are not posting every day. So I think that's something like everybody in this business could kind of like learn from, or even regular people, like just take a break from it. You don't have to say I'm taking a break from it. Just put it away. Like, just don't look at it for a few days and like how great your life could be. Speaking of that, so Teresa went on a girls trip, and Teresa of New Jersey, and wasn't wearing her ring. And a lot of people started to speculate, oh my God, she and Louis aren't together and they're breaking up. And so she said, hey, thanks for caring so much about me. She had a great attitude. She's like, I guess I'm still relevant if you still really care that much about me. But, and I should be flattered by it. Also, because Louis and I do so much together, yeah, I can see why people are like, why aren't you together? But he had his trip, I had mine, and I wasn't wearing my ring. And a lot of people are like, I don't wear jewelry on the beach. I'm too scared of losing it. I put it in the safe, or I want to go swim in the ocean. I don't want my ring falling off. So I thought, you know, and she goes, but I don't care. I've been in this business for 15 years. I don't care what people say, but Louis, it does affect him. He does get defensive. He does want to defend himself. He does want to correct the things that are being said about him that are not true. And that's just like, he's just got to catch up as far as like not caring, but it affects everybody differently. And I think it's so interesting. A couple more things about the lawsuit that I may have not clarified of Raquel suing Tom and Ariana. So here are some of the quotes, which I thought was really interesting from the lawsuit. Quote, due to a narrative deliberately fomented by Bravo Evolution and the cast, Raquel became an object of public scorn and ridicule. Okay, that's fair. As a result, she suffered in silence as Bravo and Evolution watched viewership explode and the rest of the cast enjoyed unseen levels of public recognition and professional opportunity. Quote, the idea that human beings are expected to sacrifice their mental and emotional health in service of Bravo's rating is obscene. That's what her attorney said. The lawsuit is squarely about illegal behavior and those who traffic in it and enable it, Mark Garagos, her other lawyer. Raquel has apologized for her part of the affair. That's not a crime. Tom and Ariana are alleged here to have engaged in criminal acts, Mark Garagos. Okay, you can say whatever you want. I still don't know what they're suing for and what actual evidence they have that they really did share that video that was their FaceTime together that was on Tom's phone. I felt like I was being treated like a prisoner in my own mind, and I know what I did was wrong, is what Raquel said. But I also think it's very interesting that they said this. Raquel accuses Bravo and Evolution Media of contributing to her suffering by promoting the scandal for ratings. Her lawyers emphasized the mental health aspect of the case and condemned the use of NDAs by NBC and Bravo. So one thing I think is really interesting is she's saying, I wasn't able to say what I wanted to say, how I wanted to say it, everything, because of an NDA that I signed with Bravo. And I don't really understand that NDA situation either. I don't know what, in fact, they signed. I know that there's been times when I've scheduled Bravo personalities to come on the show. They've said it's fine. It's all good. I always say I won't spoil anything that's coming up. But then they'll cancel because they'll say Bravo doesn't want us doing interviews right now. Bravo, like something will happen in their reality world that's so earth-shattering, and I'm all excited because they're coming tomorrow, and then they're like, we can't do it. And I'm always bummed, but that's why I can do a show alone. Not everyone can. But I'm always bummed because I was planning on it, whatever, and I thought, oh my God, this timing, oh my gosh, God loves me. This is so great that I've got to. But then Bravo's like, no, we're afraid you're going to spoil something, you're going to say something. And could they come on my show anyway and probably not get fired or fined? But that is a threat that they have. And nobody wants to be in the bad light with Bravo. Other stars, the bigger stars they are, the less they care, the more they don't ask permission. And then there's people that it's just their nature to ask permission. It's their nature to always comply. But now also everybody has their own podcast and their own Amazon Lives where they can drop major scoop or do an Instagram live or whatever. And they kind of want to save it for themselves or go do their own live show and save it for themselves. So I think it's going to get very complicated. And I think it's like the whole thing has changed so much. And I think it's really changed since BravoCon. And as much as we all love BravoCon, we took these people that were reality stars that, you know, were occasionally being recognized at maybe a restaurant, but it was still like a small kind of cult following of who's watching Vanderpump. I mean, think about like Vanderpump like 8-9 years ago. They're still in their apartments. They were still actually working at the restaurant and they were in all these countries, but social media hadn't caught up. BravoCon hadn't caught up. Now, jump to today, these people get on shows and they go to BravoCon and they experience being a rock star. Who doesn't want to be a rock star? Except for maybe Jenna Lyons, who didn't go to BravoCon. I don't know if she's going to be coming back. She made it sound like maybe that just wouldn't be something comfortable for her. But every single other person practically that was currently on a cast that was asked went. And they loved it. I mean, I love it. I love being approached. It could, you know, and all that stuff. But it took me 30 years to get there. So they get there right away and they love it. And they want more of it. And I think that is what changed when before BravoCon, they would just really be filmed in their home by these people. And maybe occasionally they'd go out to dinner and someone approached them. Even now they could go out to dinner and maybe they get approached or not. But you go to BravoCon and you have thousands of fans freaking out, like literally like you're a Beatle, like you are Taylor Swift. And I just think it's like a monster that has to be fed and some people can handle it better than others. But I think that's all fascinating. And that's where I'm confused with the NDA. Like, did she want to speak in that moment or was she, I think that she believed the network when thinking, okay, I'll come back and I'll have my time to share. Like maybe they said, Raquel, let everyone calm down. You're going to come back. You're going to be able to share your piece. And then when she was in her mental health retreat and seeing how everybody was still ripping on her and everything and making their money and everything because it was their story too, which is fine. then when they wouldn't pay her what she wanted and she bailed, and then she realized, like, fuck this, I think I have a case. But I don't know. I've heard inside that there are a couple more bombs coming. I don't know if those bombs are other lawsuits from different people. I don't know if it's other evidence on different shows in which Bravo and Andy or executives will have to speak to. But it is really interesting. And I feel like the canvas keeps changing as we watch. But there you go. But also on the show, there was a good moment on this boat in Lake Tahoe between Tom Sandoval and Lala where, you know, she basically says to him, right, the day that the scandal broke, that we found out you were having an affair for 7 months with Raquel, you went and did an interview saying that, like, I don't share my life, that, you know, I'm fake or whatever, or I'm deceptive. And here you are having this affair for 7 months. Just say you're sorry. And they really kind of get into it. And so it's keeping my interest. Meanwhile, Tom Schwartz did a video, a TikTok video in Vegas with a 24-year-old. People found out who she was. She's like a pretty auburn-haired girl. And all I just thought, when I saw the TikTok video, I'm like, just imagine that, like, you're out. You have this cute girl. You're like, let's go to Vegas to do something fun. And then she's like, hold on, wait. There is this really fun trend I want to do. And we have to do this dance and we have to mouth these words and how many times it took to do it. And he's like, can we just fucking get some cocktails and bone? Like, why am I doing this? But he did it and he's a pretty good sport. And so he's over 40. She's 24. And listen, that is the only way now that you're getting on Vanderpump Rules is to date someone. That's how Raquel got on. That's how Allie got on. They both dated James. That's how Randall got on when he was with Lala. That is how Brock is on because he married Sheena. That's how you get on. You're not going to get on like you did 5 years ago where you actually go and apply to be a waiter at Tom Tom or whatever. It's not happening because they're not working at these restaurants. So they're never going to really take on somebody. And the two seasons that they did that were not interesting and felt very forced and inauthentic. So if it works out, welcome to Vanderpump Rules, cute redhead. All right, let's get into traitors. Well, we're on the edge of our seat. Who is MJ going to pick? Phaedra or Peter? Well, she does stay loyal to the Bravo brand, and she gets rid of Peter the pilot. But she's still like, she and Sheree, also Real Housewives of Atlanta, as you know, start to question, could Phaedra be a traitor? Because everybody really, you know, a lot of people really are questioning her, but they're like, well, who's the other? Well, we know it's Kate Chastain. So they meet together, Kate and Phaedra, and they're like, we got to either go for Trishelle or John. And they all come to breakfast. Turns out they killed John. So he's out. Now they go to do another challenge, but they're all still very suspicious of Phaedra. So they go to do their challenge, which is this gold rush challenge where they have to go find gold in this dirt, and it can be up to $30,000 that they can win for the pot. And each piece is worth $150, up to $30,000. But they have to go over this, like, very difficult little bridge to get it in. But there is one shield, and whoever gets the shield is going to be saved from the final murder. Well, Phaedra gets it. But that's not going to help her for the roundtable banishment. That would just save her for the final murder. So at one point, Sheree is like, listen, I got to know, are you a traitor? Are you faithful? Like, where is it? She's starting to question. They've been friends forever. They're on the show. They get through it. Phaedra is so brilliant throughout all this time. And she is like, well, I'm just done, like, defending myself. And this is getting so exhausting. And they're bringing all the things that make them think that she's, in fact, a traitor. And they vote, and she does get banished, and she's a traitor. And what's juicy is that Kate voted for her as well. And there we are. Like, I do love that there was that Bravo element where the MJ and Sheree, and then that Kate essentially turned on Phaedra too. But It also could just be that she knew that Feder didn't have a chance. So now we have Kate, who is the final traitor so far. But Kate has also put it out there early in the episode that maybe Sandra could be one as well. So there's a lot going on, and you can still watch it, catch up, the whole thing. It is so juicy, and it's only on Peacock. Every Thursday, it drops 9 p.m. Eastern. So check it out, because it's coming to the end.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, let's talk about the latest with Bianca and Kanye. You know, he had her wearing naked clothes, vagina completely see-through out, and the dad has spoken. Her dad, Bianca Censori's dad, wants to confront Kanye West over models' trashy nudity. That isn't love. His name is Leo, and he wants a proper sit-down with Kanye. This is according to Page Six. He wants to ask Kanye what he would do if his daughter North or Chicago was seen in public half naked. And he wants to just sit Kanye down and let him know that he is hurting the family by turning his beloved daughter into a trashy looking marketable commodity. This is a source close to Bianca said. No man should ever encourage a woman that he loves to walk out in public and present herself like this. This isn't love. That is control. So after that story came out, she was seen at some place wearing somewhat normal clothes. Like she was wearing the leggings and all that or the tights, but it was not full see-through vag. Now, I told you guys a while ago that I had a vision. I put it out into the universe and I want to apologize. And I said full vagina cleavage, which is the side of your, and some people goes, Heather, it's not the vagina, whatever. The part of your crotch, okay? The side where that meets your thigh, which is what I like to call vagina cleavage. I'm like, that is going to be a new hot thing for fashion. But also I think full vag out will be something. So when the Bianca was seen, full vag out, see-through, everyone's seen for like 2 years, everybody's been wearing basically a bikini with like a see-through cover-up over it, but they're wearing that on the red carpet. I'm not a fan. I don't think it's great. I just think you could do better. And sometimes it's not even like that flattering, but whatever. At least you're covering up your, you know, crotch. Maybe Kanye really is that influential because that is happening. And also there's these jeans out right now. That this is called pea stain jeans. It's a real thing, okay? And it's jeans that look like you peed in. They're female jeans to purchase. Also, I don't know who this actress is, but she is wearing out sheer nylons and a bodysuit with what I said, the crotch meeting the thigh to be exposed like you would. Like last year was underboob. I like bottom tit cleavage. A couple years ago, it was side cleavage. It is now this, okay? And then this brand called Forward, FWRD, that I have bought stuff from. This is a real thing. It's a full bodysuit, but it's a naked body underneath, complete with the crotch, okay? So it's nipples, a belly button. You're supposed to wear that out. And then they have other ones where it's just a crop top with full nipples. So you're not showing anything because you're wearing the thing, you know, and then the Skims have the nipples bra, which I think is kind of genius. But this is like you're wearing a bikini that has nipples. So like if you look close, I mean, you're going to think someone is whatever, has it, their nips out. I just want to apologize because I put it out there in universe, and now it's fashion, and now we have to see it, and now we have to act like this is normal, and I don't agree with it. Okay, Kyle and Morgan. Kyle was at the front row for Morgan Wade's performance and filming the gig, but also Mauricio was there as well. So she was filming it, but Mauricio was there. I mean, we have talked ad nauseum about this marriage. We get to see more about it on the reunion. And of course, we're going to see a lot more on his show about buying Beverly Hills. So, but in an upcoming episode of the reunion, he, of course, Annie asked, can you see yourself with a woman romantically? And she was like, yeah. I don't know if we're waiting for the People cover of them, like, you know, wearing jeans with no socks, wrapped around wearing their Kemosabe hats and holding the guitar and, you know, snapshots of them laughing. I don't know. I don't care. But I do appreciate whether this was milked out, whether she made a lemonade out of lemons of a marriage falling apart or her awakening or really falling in love with Morgan or really not. I don't know. It gave me something to talk about and I find it fascinating and I appreciate that they both shared it and got TV shows out of it. Okay. But she did get another tattoo, Kyle, and it is of a little cowboy hat. And it was from the tattoo artist's Instagram. Some sleuth follows that tattoo artist and saw that it was Kyle who got another tattoo. And the tattoo artist is, are you youthful? Okay, it's a cowboy hat. I don't know, she's getting into it. It's a fashionable thing. You know, it's let her have her tats. Okay, on FX and Hulu is the show Feud, Capote versus the Swans. I think it is so good. I'm actually kind of surprised it has not gotten more buzz. I think maybe for younger people, they can't really get into how annoying Truman Capote is. But the guy imitating him is like so perfect. But he's like, oh, you're past your prime, darling. And he's like this alcoholic guy who was huge. He wrote Breakfast at Tiffany's, In Cold Blood. He's an amazing writer. And in the 60s and the 70s, he was just the toast of New York. And, you know, this was a time where people knew you were gay, but you couldn't, you know, bring your boyfriend to something or anything. But it was New York. So he was the toast of the town. And he had a group of fabulous women that became his friends. And he acted like each one was his special friend, but the women themselves were friends. And he'd have like black and white ball. And this is all really happening. And it was, it's very juicy and it's based on this book. But Lee Radzwell, who is Carol Radzwell's mother-in-law from Real Housewives of New York, and also Jackie Kennedy Onassis' sister, she's played by Calista Flockhart, and she's in it, and that's very juicy because I'll tell you why it's so interesting in applying it to today. So Truman Capote did not have a podcast, but he was a writer, and he'd written all the, like I said, these great scripts that became movies. But as he got alcoholic and pill popper and just not with it, he gets a little desperate for material, and he decides to share all the juicy scoop that these female friends that are high society women that, yes, they're on the society pages, but they're not real housewives because housewives did not exist. So nobody knows, you know, what's going on in their bedroom or their marriages or if they're having an affair or their husband's having an affair or whatever their crazy stories that they share. They share it with him, their gay best friend. And the husbands are like, oh, go be with your gay best friend. We know you're not fucking Truman Capote. Anyway, he goes and he spills all the juicy scoop and he like barely changes who they are. So everyone knows that this one is Babe and this one is Slim and this one is Lee Radzwell. And like, so there you go. And they turn on him and then he becomes the victim. And it is, for all of that, I really love. Some episodes are a little slower than others. Some are juicier than others. I can't get enough of it, but there's like six or seven out. I don't know how many are left. I think I'm going to get the audiobook because they kind of go through each woman and I'm fascinated by that time. I wish I could speak to my Aunt Claire who lived that life. She's in heaven, but she was high society in New York and it would be so juicy to hear about it. And Also, like if you have like an older woman in your life that kind of lived this life at all, that's still on earth, you should absolutely like watch it with them and like pause. Cause I wish I would have done that with Mad Men with my parents. I wasn't watching it. They were watching it. And I was like, what? What is this show on? And then I watched it after they both passed. I was like, oh my God, they lived this life. They were in advertising. This was during their era. I wish I would have like, you know, asked them everything as it was happening, but it's really good. And then how like they just, he gets jealous of them and resentful, and they miss his company, but they can't trust him anymore. And then he realizes like, well, my new life is just being on talk shows. Like now I'm just a personality. I'm not even a writer anymore, which is interesting because that's happening to today. There's a lot of actors and writers and fabulous people that are now just like, I'm just going to be a personality. I'm just going to be a podcaster. I'm just going to be on a reality show. I used to be an actor, but fuck it. This is easier and more fun. And I got to go where the money is. And so he's like doing these talk shows and he's like spilling. He's like having like hot moments where he's spilling the juicy scoop about these women. And one of the things he spills is about Lee talking about how she was pissed at her sister, Jackie Onassis. And he makes fun of Jackie Onassis looking like, you know, not great or something. And then they get in a fight about it. I want you guys to watch it. But all of it is just like really so fascinating. And I want to get Carol back on Juicy Scoop to see what she recalls. And she's very, very fond of her mother-in-law. And I think, you know, had a wonderful relationship with her. So it must be very interesting when you see a show about somebody that you intimately knew who's not on earth anymore. And you're like, well, that's not true. Or that wasn't portrayed that way. Or, well, that part is, but that isn't. I think it must be like so fascinating to watch like your family, you know, on TV. Oh, and then this was also in People. It said Lee Radziwill was obsessively jealous of her sister, Jackie Kennedy, says author of the book that inspired Feud. I don't know. You know, I think sisters can be jealous and still love each other. I think that's one of those two things can be true at the same time. And sometimes maybe they're happy for them and maybe sometimes they aren't. And I think she probably had moments where she was pissed or annoyed and vented to Truman. Just like Kathy Hilton was pissed and annoyed and probably vented to Lisa Rinna about things that bothered her about Kyle and the show and the thing. Then she just had a venting moment and thought that the venting would stay there. And that's why she wrote Lisa Rinna and was like, you know, no bueno, don't share what happened. And, you know, Lisa Rinna decided to share it. And I actually think that is what turned the audience against Lisa Rinna, because it wasn't filmed, it wasn't recorded. And I believe that she had that venting session. I believe that it wasn't flattering, and thank God it wasn't filmed for Kathy Hilton. But I also think, can't you do that with a friend? And if your friend is like acting like they're there for you, can't you be able to trust that they won't repeat it, whether, and especially not on a TV show? So I think that is what kind of turned people against Lisa Rinna. But Lisa Rinna is having her best life. She and her daughter are looking like the Addams Family at a Paris fashion show. I mean, the Paris fashion shows are like fucking terrifying. Everyone looks like they crawled out from, you know, like, remember that movie where like the girl, where you're not supposed to watch the VHS tape and the girl like crawls out from the TV and she's like that's what everybody's looking like at these fashion shows. It is, they're wearing their, like, remember Slender Man, that weird thing? People are wearing Slender Man's blazers out. The models are hideous. They're like, everyone just looks awful. So, I mean, sure, you want to invite me? Yeah, I'd like to go. Who the fuck wouldn't? But like, I'm not, if I ever invite you to another fashion show, I've only been invited to one, Gucci. And I looked super cute. I will only look cute. I'm not going to wear your ugly, weird outfit. I'm not going to have a price tag hanging from it because that's the theme of the fashion show. Like, just ew. But yeah, I think there's probably times that like, yeah, but come on, you're both looking for men and your sister marries the president of the United States. And then the other part of it is that she was dating Onassis first. Lee was divorced and she was dating Onassis, and then Onassis met Jackie. And like in this book, Jackie and Lee, or Lee and Jackie, there is a story, and who knows if it's true, that basically Jackie was like, I need this more than you. I need to marry someone that can protect my children because the Kennedys are cheap with me. I don't have Secret Service anymore, but we're being hounded. myself and my two children, Caroline and John, by the press all the time. And this way I could be with this rich old man. And there's stories that she let him like have a girlfriend, Onassis Jackie, why she just like went shopping and lived her life being rich. And Lee was like, what the fuck? But then Lee found somebody else. It just like, I can see it. I think it's so fascinating. And that's the show I've been watching. Little update on Nigel Lithgow. He claims that he received loving emails, which he can share, that will refute Paula Abdul's sexual assault allegations. So to remind you guys, Paula Abdul is suing Nigel Lithgow. Now, he was the producer of American Idol, which she was on the first many seasons of. And then he put her on his show where he was also the host, a judge, So You Think You Can Dance. And she's saying on two different occasions, he sexually assaulted her, that he, you know, was holding that over her head. He's saying it's totally not true. And that he has all these texts, which is shared, where she's like, I love having you in my life. You're such a good friend. Thank you for the beautiful flowers. Totally unnecessary. So sweet. You're the best. The cast and crew love you. Now, that's always been a hard thing of when someone comes forward that they may have had a friend, what appears to be a friendly professional relationship with a person that now say that you know, they were a perpetrator to them. We don't really know. She could come back and say, I did that because I was afraid, because he said, you know, I was hoping that would be enough. Maybe she's going to say, I was hoping if I was such a good friend, so nice and accepted every gift and acted like this other incident didn't happen, we could just go on and I could just keep being employed as a judge on these shows. But now looking back, that wasn't right. And I need to expose the truth. Who knows? But that's the latest with that. Rihanna likes a paycheck. And she performed at this billionaire's wedding in India that like all these super famous people went to. I saw Ivanka Trump went with her family, and they're two billionaires or a billion. Yeah, I think it's a billionaire marrying someone. I don't think it's a billionaire's daughter, whatever. They're billionaires in India. And she went there and performed and she got over $6 million. But people said they got out that it was a very lackluster performance. And then the comments were like, you know what? She's not a great performer. Like her songs are great, but she's not, you know, running around like Madonna or J-Lo or whatever. She just sings a song and is a little flippant about it and like isn't killing it on stage. She's not the greatest performer ever, but you can't blame her for taking that paycheck. And if you're willing to pay that $6 billion to have her come, I think it's so interesting that more and more like superstars are like going and just performing for $6, $10 million for a billionaire. And you're like, hey, if they're going to pay me, sure. And I have been putting it out there. If there is a billionaire, you don't even have to be a billionaire, and your wife's a huge fan of Juicy Scoop or your daughter or whatever, or they just want, like their dream is just to like hang out with me, let's talk, because I'm not above it. You know, I'm a delight, you're a delight. Let's make a deal happen. And I will not give a lackluster performance. If you need me to perform stand-up, I will do it, you know, amazing. So Kristen Cavallari is dating this new guy. He's 24, she's 37. And she's like, why is everyone freaking out about the age gap? Technically, this makes her a puma. She's not a cougar. A cougar, I believe, has to be in her 40s. And it goes all the way up to panther, gray panther, okay? And a puma is this girl who's in her mid to late 30s and she dates a hot guy in his 20s. And actually, there was supposed to be a movie years ago starring Jennifer Aniston called Pumas. But these guys are like these Montana boys. And basically, they lip sync songs and they're like cute country guys. I think they're from Montana. And she's dating one of them and she's like literally doing TikTok videos with them now. And they're like at a pool together and they're having fun. And she's like, I don't understand why everyone's being so fucking weird. Like, let me have my fun. I mean, we just talked about Tom Schwartz, who's 40, dating a 24-year-old. So that's kind of funny. And then Spencer Pratt is so hilarious, you know, friend of the show. He's going to be on soon, I promise. We just were texting. He's like doing his TikToks and he's like, if these Montana boys were on The Hills reboot, like the show would have gone forever. Like this is the kind of scoop like we needed, the kind of juice that we need. Anyway, I do think it's kind of weird that your career is like you're a TikTok band just mouthing. But I don't mean, who cares? Like, she's not out to marry anybody. She's divorced with three kids. The last thing she wants to do is like get someone serious. This is pretty interesting. If you're watching Real Housewives of Miami, I have to say Larsa Pippen really kind of makes the show because, you know, she's just kind of like fun to look at. She's had, you know, her looks have changed a lot. She's with Marcus Jordan and apparently Marcus Jordan comes out and is like nasty to the cast. I think that's the next and final episode of the reunion. But now Scottie Pippen had this alleged ex-lover and she is suing him for stalking. And she claims that Larsa of Real Housewives of Miami also caused her suffering. So this woman is saying that she dated Scottie Pippen years ago when Larsa was married to him. And like Larsa was harassing and it just seems like the flimsiest lawsuit ever. But I thought that was kind of interesting. And then I saw a reel to promote selling the Hamptons. And it's like selling Sunset, but it's in the Hamptons. So it's hot young realtors in tiny outfits in $20 million homes, which they would never get the listing in real life, but whatever, it's a TV show. And Larsa Pippen is in a preview of one of the episodes looking at the houses. And I'm like, okay, there's certain people that I've seen do way too many guest appearances on reality shows. Larsa Pippen looking for houses, also Kelly Rowland looking for houses. And I want to know, have either of them ever bought a house from any of these brokers where I know Larsa Pippen was also looking at a house in Selling Sunset. I don't know who the broker was or Million Dollar Listing. Like, they just must be like, what celebrities can we get in that will get cute and are desperate enough to act like they're actually interested in this house? Like, it's never, it's so annoying. Okay, so now I'm going to finish up the show with a couple disturbing crimes. So like, if you're not into that, okay. This was crazy. You know, when I had Dr. Leslie on, one of the things she said was, I don't let my kids go on sleepovers. And I said, why is that? I'm seeing that more and more on TikTok. She's like, because in her work, like 70% of assaults on kids are done at sleepovers at other people's houses. So many people sent me this article and it's very disturbing. So there was this 57-year-old dad. He just now filed for divorce. This happened in August. I don't know where the mother was in this, but his 12-year-old daughter invited a few girls over for like a spa night and they set up their beds in the basement and they did all these, they went swimming, they had a barbecue. The dad was like supervising them and he made them mango smoothies and the girl felt like there was chalky stuff in it. So the one girl like faked it and didn't finish it. And he was kind of like mean about it. And then they all go to bed and he keeps coming down, checking, like waving his hand in front of the girls' faces, checking, breathing. And we know this because the one girl that didn't have the mango smoothie stayed up. And she was laying on the bed next to her friend who was passed out because she drank the smoothie. And he like moved that girl away from her. So she starts frantically texting her mom and anybody adult in her family, because they weren't answering because it's the middle of the night. Come get me. I'm scared. I'm scared. I'm scared. The mom gets them. The kids leave. They go to the hospital. A couple of the girls are still completely out of it, like can't walk. I mean, very, so disturbing, but it just goes with that thing, which is just so sad. But like, no, nobody should have sleepovers. They really shouldn't unless you, I don't even want to say if you even know the people, you just don't know. And again, there's no point. I agree. Like, you have the rest of your life to live in a dorm with someone when you're a full functioning adult. But when you're a kid and you're at someone's house and you're eating and you're having a fun, just have your mom pick you up at 10. Nobody needs to stay there past 10. That's my opinion. Love is Blind is on tonight, I believe. And we're going to find out who got married. That's a good one. Also want to talk about this. Couple to Throuple. It's a show on Peacock. You know, I love the Seeking Sister Wives. Seeking Sister Wives is coming back, okay? It's coming back, and they're showing that couple that I was fascinated by where the girl clearly didn't want, they had two boys, the girl clearly didn't want another wife. I don't know if they just want to be on TV, but the husband now is back and he's like, we read the scripture and the scripture about the Holy Spirit coming inside of you is really the man spreading his sperm to numerous women. This is what is on the TLC website. And she's like, yeah. And in the previous seasons, I didn't think the show was coming back. In the previous seasons, he's like, I'm going to find, we found this girl like Rosalind or something. And she bailed. When it finally came down to actually moving to America and like getting married and having his child, she wanted no part of it and like moved on. So now they're seeking for another. So now I'm watching the show from couple to throuple, and they go to like an island, like a love island, and there's all these couples and they're looking to take on a third. And most of the couples are a man and a woman looking for a girl, but there's two gay guys looking for a guy. And then there's a queer couple where the girl's a lesbian and the guy was mostly had a lifestyle mostly being gay, but then they found each other and now they're like, whatever goes. I don't believe those people. I think they just like were friends and wanted to be on TV. Anyway, in watching it, they have to, once they take on their third, they all go back to their suites and they all have to sleep in the same bed. And the third has to be in the middle, which there's no way I could ever sleep in the middle. Like I have to be on the side with like a leg out. Nothing sounds worse to me. Even when we'd have our kids sleep in our bed, like I couldn't even handle it. And it's like some of them don't do anything. Some get busy right away. But it really feels like two people just like taking on a sex slave. Like it is so bizarre. I would be like, what the hell am I watching? But I couldn't turn away. So I was watching that and I was like, what if this was just society? Like, what if this was just you grew up in everybody's family, there were three parents that all lived together and all slept together. I mean, listen, it doesn't work out. Spoiler alert, it does not work out. It doesn't work on Seeking Sister Wives. It doesn't work here. And it doesn't work on Sister Wives either, which I am going to now talk about something very sad. This news came out last night. Janelle Brown's son, Garrison, has ended his life. And it's so sad. He was featured on the show Sister Wives for many years. He was 25 years old. It was with a gun. And unfortunately, his other brother that was also featured, her other son is the one who found him. Janelle posted about it. Mary has posted about it. The photo that Janelle posted was him in his combat gear. He served in the armed forces, which makes you wonder, was there PTSD? We'll never really know what brings someone this, if it's a multitude of things or one particular thing. I believe they're currently filming, you know, of course, TLC is very sad about it too. And I just kind of wonder what will happen with the show. Like, how will they address this? We have never seen this on a reality show before. Of course, on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Taylor Armstrong's husband also ended his life, but it was not while they were filming and they were going through divorce, and she did not come back to Beverly Hills after that. Many years later, she just recently went on OC, but she's not continuing with that. But it's such a dark, sad, the worst thing that could ever happen to a family. And I don't know what I would do if I was the producer. I don't know. Do you take a permanent, you know, obviously you're going to take a break from filming, or are you going not to, because it's like a documentary. It's just so sad. And I know that, you know, everything I've seen is just obviously a lot of love and care for this family. So that was really, really sad. This was a case I covered for a long time. This was Jennifer Dulos, and she was a beautiful mother of five, and she went missing one morning, Connecticut mom. She was going through an awful divorce with her husband, and where they were fighting over the kids. He already had a girlfriend. She just was like, I just want to live my life. Stop. He had borrowed $2 million from her mother. The mother was demanding that he return the money. He was having financial issues. He was a builder. He was this, you know, guy. He was Greek and he was good looking. But they were having an awful divorce. She goes missing after dropping the kids off. We never see her again. That was over 3 years ago. They start to investigate him, and they realize that they have footage of him dropping off bags in a trash can with his girlfriend. In those bags, they get it's bloody clothes and things like that, and it's DNA, and it's DNA of the girlfriend. So that's very bad. He also has an employee of his. He goes, detail my car, but also remove the two car seats, the two front seats of this truck. And this is after the wife has gone missing. And the guy is like, I really don't want to do this. But the guy does what he's told, but he keeps the two original seats and eventually turned that over to the police, which had blood on them. Eventually, the husband does get arrested, even though he's doing interviews and saying, like, I didn't do it. We don't know where she is. She may have just taken off. She was a writer and she'd written a book very similar to Gone Girl, where the woman fakes her own missing and everything to get a cheating husband back, played by Ben Affleck. That was a very popular book and movie. But she wrote it before it ever came out. And they're like, what? Maybe she's doing that. Everyone's like, of course, she's not going to leave her five kids and like have them worry. Something went wrong and we think it's you. He gets arrested, and while on bail, he ends his life in his garage in his car. Just now, the girlfriend has been found guilty of tampering with evidence, hindering a prosecution, disposing of evidence, not being truthful to investigators. All these counts she has been found guilty of. Not murder, but enough counts that if you put it together, her sentencing could actually go up to 50 years. And she has a daughter, and she's always claimed her innocence, always said, you know, I didn't know what was going on. I thought she really was missing, whatever. But they found her guilty in planning a murder and disposing of the evidence. So she's going to be sentenced. Another crime that I've talked about is Rebecca Grossman. Rebecca Grossman is from the area in which I live. She's 62. She was, quote unquote, a socialite. Her husband was a big plastic surgeon. They had the Grossman Burn Center, which was, you know, this great place to help people that are severely burned. She had an open marriage with her husband at this time. And they had two kids that are like 19 and 17 or something. And so she had a boyfriend named Scott Erickson, who's a former baseball player. In September, I think it was September of 2020, so it was COVID and kids are away at home from school. She and the boyfriend have one drink at one location and one drink at another. And they're going back to, a place to like hang out, her house or an extra home she had. And she goes speeding through this crosswalk situation and hit two little boys and they died. The mom was walking her four kids, and the two older ones she couldn't pull back. She could only pull back the five-year-old. She continues to go until her car, because there was an impact, shuts off the fuel. So she then has to stop. And she's like, you know, her OnStar goes on. She's like, I don't know what happened. And they're like, well, there was an accident a little bit back just where you passed. Did you hit anything? And she's like, I don't know. The cops come. And she gets arrested, and this has been going on now for 3 years. Of course, she has the funds to have, you know, the best attorneys. And she goes on trial, and they say, we think it's Scott Erickson who hit the boys, and she was after them. And her car has smash marks in front. It shows her black box from her car, shows that she's going 81 miles an hour. But the defense was like, why is Scott Erickson not at least being questioned? And then her daughter comes on and says, Scott Erickson was hiding in a bush and I saw him there. And then he threatened me that if I say the truth, that it was really his car that hit it. And the defense was saying, you know, he turned a different car into the police to check, not the one he was really driving. He has two that are similar. Anyway, the jury didn't take any of that. They found her to be guilty of it. And now she's going to be sentenced on April 10th. She's facing a lot of years. the parents finally have a little bit of closure because they're like, every day that we'd go to court, this felt like, you know, we're reliving our children's funeral. Every time we had to, you know, have another hearing and everything. And her attorney is setting up an appeal. So just a little conclusions on some juicy crimes that I've covered on my Patreon on Juicy Crimes. And that's where you join my Patreon. You go to heathermcdonald.net for Juicy Crimes. Get me behind gates. And every Friday, for just a cup of coffee, you can be part of the juice and get all the episodes. I've been on here for over 6 or 7 years now. So there's so much to listen to. And it's all archived there, of course, commercial free. Okay, you guys, I am coming. My next show is in April. It's April 5th and 6th. I'll be in Palm Beach for shows that weekend. Then Friday, May 3rd, I'll be at the Scottsdale Center of Performing Arts. You got to go there. That's only one show, Beautiful Scottsdale, with Brandy and Julie there. I've got Denver Comedy Works in May. I've got June 1st at Pechanga with the amazing Chris Frangiola. And more dates to come in summer and fall. But you got to go to heathermcdonald.net. And hopefully, of course, you're already following me at Heather McDonald on Instagram and everything else. Love you. Have a great rest of your week.